Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about Christian philosophy. I know that that's a word that not many people relate to, but it's a scriptural term from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy." And I've spent quite a bit of time showing that this is talking about the way you think, a system of thought, a paradigm, a worldview. And this is just really powerful. I've already ministered on this for over 2 weeks. I won't go back through that. If you've missed any of my teaching on Christian philosophy, we're offering some product that will really help you. And this is a powerful teaching. Whether you realize it or not, you have a philosophy. You have a worldview, a way of looking at everything that basically filters every instance that happens in your life. Everything that is said is filtered through your philosophy. If you're a pessimist, then you filter everything through that pessimistic philosophy, and it affects the way your attitude is and your actions. If you're an optimist, that's a philosophy, and you filter all the information, and you will see opportunities where others are intimidated and see fear and respond. And that's a philosophy. And there is a Christian philosophy. There is a Christian way of thinking. So to illustrate this, I've turned back over to Genesis chapter 3, and I've looked at how Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil. And Satan didn't come with some animal to overpower them and intimidate them and force them into submission, but he came with words attacking their philosophy. And I've already spent 2 weeks of teaching on this. I just can't go back through all of that, but it is so important, the things that we've said. What I started dealing with yesterday, this is the fourth teaching in this six-part set that I have on Christian philosophy. And the fourth philosophy that I was pointing out that Adam and Eve didn't have correctly, and this is why they became susceptible to Satan's temptation and eventually sinned. And so if we can see what their mistake was, then we can change this and we can keep us from entering into the lies and the deception of the devil. And the point I was making yesterday, and this is just a shocker to most people, is that Adam and Eve did not have a good relationship with God. They didn't really know God. And I know that some people are just shocked, like, how could you say such a thing? They were perfect. They fellowshipped with God. They heard the audible voice of God and walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. But Adam and Eve became, they yielded to the lie of the devil here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, where Satan said, "God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Satan was basically slandering God and saying, God isn't out for your promotion. God is trying to withhold things from you. He's trying to suppress you and keep you down. You can't reach your full potential because God isn't for you. You know, all of those kind of statements are included in what Satan said here, and it is a slander against the nature and the character of God. And I'm making this point that if Adam and Eve had known God the way that you and I can know God through the revelation of the Word, they would have never have submitted to this. But here's some things that most people haven't thought about. The reason Adam and Eve submitted to this temptation and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is because they didn't really have a depth of relationship with God. They didn't know how much He loved them. Now, they had no reason to question it because everything God had done, everything they did know was good. He had created a perfect environment for them. The climate was perfect. The food was perfect. There was no strife. There was nothing evil. There was no reason for them to ever doubt the goodness of God, but they did because they didn't have much of a track record with Him. They didn't really know Him. They didn't know the extent to which He would go to help them. Of course, we now have the benefit of hindsight, and I'm not saying these things in a way that I'm, you know, critical of Adam and Eve. They were naive, but we aren't naive. We now know that we're in a battle with the devil, and there's no reason that we should have the same, make the same mistakes that Adam and Eve made. They were naive and didn't understand what was going on. But let me just say it this way. And this, I know it's hard for some people to get hold of. But I really believe that my revelation of God and of who He is and how much He loves me is so superior to what Adam and Eve had, to what Moses had, to what Abraham had, to what David had, to what Elijah had, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah, any Old Testament prophet. Even the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ did not, in the portion that was recorded in Scripture, during the time that they were here on the earth with Jesus and they were His 12 disciples, they did not know God as well as I know God. And I know some people take that as an arrogant statement, thinking that I'm something special. What I'm saying is that the revelation that is given to us through the Word of God is so superior that it has given us information about how that Jesus laid down His life for us. The disciples didn't really understand this. At the crucifixion of Jesus, the disciples were expecting Him to overcome and come down from the cross and establish His kingdom. And when they saw Jesus crucified, the disciples didn't understand what was going on. Now, I could take a lot of time in Scripture to go back and prove this to you. I'm just going to make these statements because I don't want to get off on a sidetrack and spend 2 or 3 days making this point. But this is obvious to me. If you would study the Scripture, I believe it'll be obvious to you that they didn't understand. They thought that Jesus was the Messiah. Yes, Peter showed that in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. But then when it came time for Him to be arrested, Peter was willing to fight. He was willing to do something physical. But to see Jesus literally crucified and dead and buried, they didn't understand. They were shocked when the resurrection came. They had forgotten those prophecies. They thought that Jesus was the Messiah, but they expected Him to establish His physical kingdom on the earth right then. They didn't understand the plan of salvation. They didn't really understand how Jesus was giving His life and suffering our punishment and our judgment so that we could experience His life. They didn't understand that. And when they were standing there looking up at Jesus hanging on the cross, they were looking at it as defeat. They were looking at it as failure. You know, they didn't have the benefit of the song that we sing about, He could have called 10,000 angels, but He died alone for you and me. They looked at it as, why isn't He calling on the power of God? Why isn't He coming down? There was confusion. There was fear. They ran and they hid. And did you know that in hindsight, through the record of Scripture, I now have a greater understanding of why Jesus sacrificed Himself on the cross, why it was necessary for Him to die. I have a greater revelation of Jesus' love and why He did what He did than His disciples did prior to the resurrection, prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit and the establishing of the church. And even after that period of time, you find that Peter, who was one of the closest disciples of the Lord, he still didn't understand all of the dynamics of what happened on the cross. He still wasn't embracing grace completely. He was kind of going back and trying to go into this, what would be considered similar to what we call messianic Christianity today, where he was trying to merge the Christian realm back into the Jewish faith and make them totally compatible, which the Apostle Paul rebuked him openly for it. You can read about that in Galatians chapter 1. And Paul just had no mercy, and I mean rebuked him openly in front of the people and told him that you are falling back into legalism. And Peter received Paul's rebuke. And Peter even wrote, I believe it's in the last chapter of either 1st or 2nd Peter, Peter wrote and he says, "Our beloved brother Paul says some things that are hard to be understood, which those who are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do other scripture." Peter right here is saying Paul's revelation of Jesus was superior to his, that he wrestled with it and he had to struggle with it. in a kind of a veiled way, he's making reference to the fact that he even was rebuked by the Apostle Paul. Now, here's a man who walked for 3.5 years with Jesus on this physical earth. I mean, he could tell Jesus by the way he looked. He could recognize his voice because he heard it so much. I'm sure that he could have his eyes closed and have felt of Jesus and have recognized him. He knew him in the physical realm. But Paul had a revelation of who Jesus was in the Spirit. He knew him. He actually knew Jesus better than Peter, who walked and talked and ate and slept with him and spent 24 hours a day with him, 7 days a week for 3.5 years. Paul, who didn't ever see Jesus in that physical body, or certainly only saw him from afar, but wasn't intimate and wasn't close with him in the physical body, Paul knew Jesus by the Spirit greater than the man who spent so much time with him in the physical. And Peter made reference to that and said that Paul's writings were Scripture, and those who were unlearned and unstable would wrestle with them as they did other Scriptures. So here's Peter, in a sense, bowing his head or bowing the knee and acknowledging that Paul's revelation and knowledge about Jesus was superior to his. And he submitted to that and accepted the criticism. So here's my point. Paul, the man who wrote half of the New Testament, the man who rebuked Peter, one of the most intimate disciples of Jesus, Paul had a greater revelation of who Jesus was and what he really came to accomplish. And he didn't get it through physical contact. It was through the Spirit. He knew God through the Spirit better than Peter did. That's an amazing statement. And Paul wrote his revelation that he had of Jesus down, the things that were revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And through the study of the Scripture, we can now know God. We now know how much God loves us, that He sent His only Son to die for us and to bear our sins. We now understand that. And you know what? Because of that, I know God more than the apostles did. I have a greater revelation of God than Abraham, than Moses. Just think of these great men that are recorded in Scripture and how Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God and was in the presence of God to such a degree that his face literally radiated the glory of God. This man held his rod out over the Red Sea and parted it, and he did all of these awesome things. We could spend days talking about that. You know, if somehow or another Moses could be just translated from back in his day into my day, he wouldn't understand. If he hadn't have spent, you know, 4,000 years or whatever in heaven with his mind completely renewed, if you could just take him and in a time machine, transport him from back when he led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and they were in the wilderness, if you could take him and put him right here today, and if I could tell him that God so loved the world that he sent his Son, and that Jesus, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, was literally going to die and be crucified, beaten, persecuted, and he would humble himself and submit to it because he was taking the sin of the entire world on him, then he would literally go to hell and pay the debt that we had to pay, that sin would be wiped out, that there would be no more sacrificial system, there wouldn't have to be a temple and the holy place and the holy of holies and the separation, that the veil is going to be rent. If Moses could just be transported and hear me say these things, I believe that it would just, if he would believe it and accept it, it would literally knock him flat of his face. It would be a greater revelation than he ever had of God. Boy, I know that these are statements that most people don't think this way. Most people look at Moses and think, oh, what he had was so superior to what we have. And yet the Scripture says just the opposite. The Scripture says, just one example in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 7 through 9. It says that the Old Testament law, written and engraven in stones, if that was glorious, so that the children of Israel couldn't even stand to look at Moses because his face was radiating this light, then what we have is much more glorious. And then it says, if the ministration of death, if it with all of these wonderful things, how much more is the ministration of life? There is no glory in comparison. What we have is infinitely better. The Scripture says that. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, talking about John the Baptist, said that John the Baptist was the greatest of all Old Testament saints. And that includes Elijah, Elisha, David, Abraham, Moses, anybody under the Old Testament. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet that had ever walked among men. And yet Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that if you are least in the kingdom of heaven, you are greater than John the Baptist. What we have is so much greater. We now have the revelation complete, and a revelation that shows us how much God loves us, that it should cause us to trust Him, to know Him to such a degree that we wouldn't be susceptible to the lies of the devil the way that Adam and Eve were. I'm telling you that one of the things that caused Adam and Eve to sin and eat of the forbidden fruit was the fact that they didn't know God as much as I know God, as much as you know God, as much as you can know God. They didn't have that revelation. And therefore, Satan was able to slander God because they didn't really know Him. God hadn't proved Himself to them. He hadn't done anything to show them anything to the contrary. But you and I have proof. God has demonstrated His love toward us in such a degree that if we were to just take these truths and form a philosophy, a paradigm, a way of thinking. You know, here's another way of saying exactly what I'm saying. This is the Apostle Paul speaking over in Romans chapter 8. And it's talking about all of the wonderful things that He's done for us. And it says, that if God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Here's the logic. If you really understand how awesome it was for God to send Jesus, if you understand how much Jesus suffered for you, if you understand that that completely set us free, that the Lord didn't partially redeem us, but as I've taught in other things, He forgave us of all sins, past, present, and even future sins, the sins we haven't even committed yet. If you were to get a full revelation of this, and if you understood that, and if God loved us so much that He did all of that, then how in the world could you ever fall prey to the thought that God isn't going to heal you, that God isn't going to bless you financially, that God doesn't care about your situation, that God is punishing you? If you understood that He's already punished Jesus, you would quit believing this lie that He's punishing you and that you're having to suffer for your sins and that God won't have anything to do with you. I'm telling you that if you had a true relationship with God, the greater your relationship with God is, the greater your revelation of how much God loves you, the more you will be able to resist the devil. That is such a simple statement, but it's profound, and most people don't understand this. And let me just say that most Christians do not have an intimate relationship with God. They know God from afar. They know Him from a distance. They've heard me or their pastor or somebody else talk about God and relate it, and they have some impressions, but they don't know it for sure. You know, I had an experience with God. I was born again when I was 8 years old, and I believe if I'd have died, I'd have gone to heaven right then. I really believe that. I was saved. I know I was saved. But you know what? When I was 18 years old, I had an encounter with God that took my relationship with God, my understanding of God, to a whole new level. And instantly, I intuitively knew that God loved me, not because I was lovely, but because God was love. I began to understand that God's love for me wasn't based on my performance. And did you know when I got that piece of information, that took my relationship to a whole new level. Prior to that, I'd been born again when I was 8 years old, but I felt like I had to do things to earn God's favor and to be pleasing to Him. That's what religion was teaching me. That's the model that was given unto me. And because of that, it hindered my relationship. When I did good, I felt like, oh God, now I can have a relationship and You're pleased with me. But when I failed, when I didn't do as well as I should, which was the vast majority of the time, I still believed I was going to go to heaven, but I wasn't enjoying a closeness with God because of my sense of unworthiness. But when I had this relationship and I knew God to a greater degree, I tell you, my relationship with God went through the roof. And instantly, things that used to hold me back and used to keep me at arm's length from God were gone because of my greater revelation of God and how much He loved me. You know, I know that this is a simple statement, but it is not being realized and understood by the vast majority of people. And that is that God loves you, and that your relationship with God is the key to everything. It's the key to everything that you have. Everything that you need comes out of a relationship with God. If Adam and Eve would have known God, if they would have somehow or another, and again, no blame on them because they didn't know what was at stake. They were naive. It's like a little child. He just doesn't think about all of the things that an adult does. I'm not criticizing them, but if Adam and Eve would have somehow or another taken advantage of the relationship that was available to them, if they would have been asking the Lord questions, like, Lord, if we ever did sin, if we ever did take of this tree, what would be the results? I know you said we'd die. What does that mean? Would this just totally end our relationship with you? I believe that God would have explained to them. God would have shown them, you know, I love you so much that if you ever rebel at me, I'll even send my own son and he'll die and suffer your sin. I'll pursue you. I don't care how far you go. I'll pursue you. You can't outrun me. I love you and there is nothing you can do to stop me from loving you. Now, there are consequences. I'm going to kick you out of the garden because I don't want you to eat of that tree of life and live forever in this fallen state. I've got something better. And yes, you are going to have tragedy. And if you do something like this, your son Cain is going to kill your son Abel. And there's going to be consequences. And I believe that God would have explained things to him and they would have known him. They could have pursued this. They did not know how much God loved them. He just hadn't demonstrated it. There hadn't been any need to demonstrate it. I believe they could have received instruction. He could have told them about it. But I'm saying that if Adam and Eve, if somehow or another you could have put into them the knowledge that is now revealed through the Word of God, they could have come back at Satan and said, you are a liar. You're saying God doesn't care about us. God doesn't want us to prosper. Boy, here's what God is going to do. He was literally going to send His Son. He will give anything for us. He would die in our place. So therefore, they could have just totally rejected this temptation. They could have diffused the temptation, taken the power out of it. They could have overcome it if they would have known God better. I'm saying, brothers and sisters, if we knew God better, we could overcome all temptation. This is just the key. Relationship with God is the key to overcoming sin. So it's the key to having joy and peace and power. It's the key to everything. And it's amazing that this is available to us and yet most people aren't taking advantage of it. You know, I've got a lot more to share about this. A lot more. I really encourage you to please get these materials that we're offering. Our CD set, there's 6 parts to this on Christian Philosophy 1. This is going to make a big difference in your life. You need this. So please call or write. We have the address and phone number on the screen. Listen to our announcer as he gives you this information. And please call or write. Take advantage of these materials and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 1 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1047C or DVD album T1047D when you contact us. The fourth teaching in the CD album titled Relationship with God is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP4C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to let you know that Andrew's latest book, The Believer's Authority is available and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. A Spanish version is also available. Visit our website for more information. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen. You know, yesterday I really felt like God was touching people and people needed to call and not only get the product, but get prayer. And yet we had our offices closed yesterday because of the holiday and we gave our employees the day off. And if God spoke to you, and I encourage you to go back and not only get these products, but when you call, ask someone to pray with you. We have some wonderful people on our phones that they know God. They have a relationship with God, and they can pray and lead you into a relationship with God, whether you need to be born again or if you've already been born again, if you just need more of God. That number on your screen is a lifeline to you, and I encourage you to please call today and not only request the materials, but ask for prayer.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina next week, September 13th through the 18th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, September 27th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to come and be with me on September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to be at Freedom Christian Center with my good friend, Pastor Dean Melton. I tell you, this is one of my favorite places to go. These people, if you have never been to Charlotte, to this Freedom Christian Center camp meeting, you are missing an experience. Not only the teaching of the Word and the power of God and healings and all of the things that go with a normal meeting, I tell you, the people there are special. Coming to see Pastor Dean is an experience in itself. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you ought to come be with us. We actually hold our meetings under a brush arbor. It's going to be a great time, September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.